welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show. It's episode
29 this time, I think.
No, wait, isn't it 30 now?
Oh my word, are we doing this again?
I genuinely think it's 30.
I think last time we said, it's 29, then I said, no, it's 28. Are we in triple figures?
I mean,
30.
We could check it.
That's not.
Yeah.
I'm Bill Streep.
It's better not to. I'm Cy Streep.
I'm Andrew.
I'd like to open today with a bit of exciting news.
Okay. You bought another pan.
Exciting in a, no, in a scary way. 2 weeks ago, you, I think, opened the show saying you'd been hit by a car.
Yes.
Andrew, yeah. Yesterday, I mean, last week, you said that you'd been stopped by the cops.
Yeah.
Well, let me join the gang. Today, I had a gun pointed at me.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah. Terrifying.
When did this happen?
Granted, it was a child with a toy gun.
Okay.
But still a very surreal moment. Driving along on my way here, and like there's a kid walking along the road.
Yeah.
And he just totally like lifted his hand up, gun in hand. He fully like closed the one eye as if he was aiming and pointed right at my face and went like that as if he pulled the trigger. And I was just like, this is very weird because I didn't really swerve my car or duck down or anything. Had this been a real gun and a real hit put out on my head, he'd have probably hit.
Do you think, though, if someone was going to put a hit out on you, that they would choose a child to do the job?
Well, you
know.
It's
like really budget hitman. They don't have enough money to afford the real person, but they do kind of want you dead. So
the thing is, I think he proved that it would have worked quite well because, as I said, I didn't flinch or try avoid said bullet had there been one. And it would have been a nice clean hit. And he would have run back to school. And nobody would have been any the wiser.
I mean, maybe this was a warning. And maybe you've offended some kind of child mafia gang.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
They're coming after you. What have you done?
It's because there was a kid waiting in line to go on that Postman Pat ride outside the Checkers. And I was like, no, I'm cutting in. Age before beauty. So I think I've you know, upset the children. In that way, maybe.
Fair enough. I wasn't allowed in at the marijuana amusement park.
What?
I wasn't high enough to enter.
Very good.
Thank you. Just thought, you know, it's a comedy podcast.
Yeah, open with a joke.
Bring in a joke.
Yeah.
I did craft it
on the fly, which is more impressive.
I did start things a bit serious there, so that's nice. It's nice that things have been lifted.
Well, then I'll bring the tone down.
Okay.
I was driving to work this week, and I saw a dog on the back of a scooter.
What? No ways.
Yeah, yeah. So,
tell me more.
Yeah,
I like this.
So, this person clearly needed to go somewhere, and they weren't going alone. They were taking their best friend.
That's very cool.
How does one even do this?
So they had fashioned a wooden crate cage.
Ah. That's
and
awesome.
The dog was poking out of the top, kind of a gap between the roof of the cage and the top.
Maybe it was like Mr. Delivery, who was delivering a puppy to somebody.
Well, let me tell you, that dog was not happy. Like,
no, really.
Not at all.
I would think a dog would like that.
Did you try high five it?
Yeah, Paul? I couldn't get close enough.
Dogs. I'm very surprised to hear that because dogs seem to love in a car sitting with their head out the car. Why don't, you know, surely that's a very similar, if not better experience.
I can only assume it's like one step too close.
Okay.
Like it's the same thing. I don't know if you've seen that video where it's got an electric gate and there's one dog on the left and there's about four dogs on the right and they are just barking like crazy at each other.
Yeah.
And then the person opens the gate and it's a really slow gate. And so it kind of opens slowly and the dogs are kind of following each other, barking. And as soon as there's no gate between dogs, they just both run away. They all run away. And I can only assume that with this dog, it's like too close to the road.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd be happier in a sidecar?
Yeah. Dogs love sidecars.
I think, there's evidence. Wallace and Gromit, if that's anything to go by, I think dogs love sidecars.
Did this dog have a helmet on?
No helmet.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
You should report him.
Well, I mean,
this whole thing sounds really dangerous.
That's the. What do you say? I would like to report a dog on a scooter.
Yeah,
who's going to believe that?
And they go, are you high enough to come in the marijuana fun park?
Very good. Can I bring up bathrooms just really quickly?
Just a quick one.
A really quick bathroom.
Is it to do with my bathroom?
No, it's not to do with your bathroom. But using your bathroom just now did remind me of. Just an etiquette thing that we just kind of want to know.
Okay.
So obviously with the water restrictions, there are people that are, you know, doing the if it's yellow, let it mellow ruling,
he
right?
He says looking at me.
No, I'm not saying you
this
are
This is very
not.
Interesting because I was about to bring up this exact same thing, I think.
So my question is do you, if you're a guest in someone's house,
ooh,
are you forced into behaving in the manner that they've clearly laid out? Or is it okay?
Yeah.
Or is it okay
feel
for
like
you to
jabs are happening here?
Is it okay for you to flush yourself away? So, debate. I think you kind of. I feel like you should be allowed to do your own thing, but do not want to be offending anyone that you know. They hear the toilet flush and like, oh, that's Simon. Clearly, we have an if it's yellow, let it mellow rule here, yeah. And he's flushing away like it's
which
an
I did clearly
form.
Have. If you'd gone to the bathroom, you'd know. That's an interesting one. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's nicer. It's almost like I'm happier to know that my waste is still is mellowing.
Yes, let's say.
But I would. It's a bit weirder to have a friend or a stranger's waste.
Yes, I would think so as well.
Yeah.
So you weren't offended.
No, not at all.
Okay.
It did make me think though. You've now disrupted a mellowing yellow, which can be a bit pungent to the nose. And I apologize.
I know
if that was the case.
That was not the case. Your urine was scent free.
If you let too much yellow mellow for too long and then disrupt, it can be almost like a yeasty beer sometimes.
So no. I was fine with that because I did think the alternative is just very laborious. If I had to try take your urine out of the toilet,
right?
Then put my urine into the toilet, flush that
That's
away.
The alternative is it?
Then put your urine back in the toilet.
Yeah,
I don't have time for that, and no. I don't think that's a reasonable request.
What
to be
about
honest.
The toilet seat etiquette, though? Because I've noticed after podcasts that my toilet seat isn't left how I would. Probably typically leave it.
How do
and
you?
I'm not. I think I'm in the wrong here.
Yeah.
I leave the middle seat kind of down.
The middle seat down.
Yeah, you know, there's like two liftable things.
Ooh, who's the guilty
so
culprit?
Who's lifting it up?
I don't think. I
maybe it's
am
someone
guilty.
Else.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You've got a toilet ghost.
It's obviously my other podcast idea.
Because I used to not really care really where the toilet seat was left. But then very shortly into marriage, yeah. I was taught that it's good to leave it down.
Yeah.
Not closed, but down. That is the kind of way to go. Closed is confusing and open is entirely as confusing as well because apparently then some people, no yeah. names mentioned, potentially walk into the bathroom, sit down without looking.
Yes, and I've then always get found a, that interesting.
Get a little surprise. Now, I've only ever done this once or twice, so I can't really 100% relate because for me, you can see quite obvious. You have to be quite tired to sort of get into the
Especially
bathroom.
Especially when you walk into a bathroom forwards.
Yes,
it's when you're backing into the bathroom that I might understand. Interesting.
So yeah, I apologize if I've left the toilet seat up. That's obviously not me though, and it's Andrew. Andrew, you should stop it.
No,
it's,
not at all.
It's definitely not me.
Did you guys hear the train go by just now?
I did. It was nice.
I'd like to know if the podcast listeners can hear it because I can feel it in my bones when they go by, and I want to know if that's translating across to the listeners. Maybe somebody can let me know on the Facebook. I have a question about trains though. Simon, you've frequented trains probably more recently than I have.
It's probably true.
When a train is pulling into a station and you're kind of walking not very near that station, in fact, you could be a couple blocks from the station, but it's visible that a train is pulling in.
Yeah.
And you see people running at that point.
Yeah.
Isn't that just futile effort? Because, I mean, I've been on trains when they stop at stations, and it's a maximum of like 7 or 8 seconds that the doors stay open and then drive off.
Well, as a seasoned train traveler, I can answer that question. The trains do take slightly longer than you would expect to do the little switcheroo of passengers.
Yeah.
So there is worth in trying to run. The problem is, though, is that you never quite know when you start your run whether you're going to make it.
Yeah.
So there's definitely times where I have ran and made it.
Oh, have you done the run?
I've tried the run. Okay. And most times I succeed the run, but I got a feeling I succeed because my sprinting is fairly decent because of my long legs.
So you go out into a full sprint.
I go into the train sweating.
I mean, but this is the thing. I've seen people running so well that I'm just thinking, why don't you just run to where your destination is? It's clearly in your ability to run really well.
I mean, this honestly sounds like a dangerous thing to run near a train.
Run straight at a train.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities to trip.
I've gotten to the point where I've almost sort of jumped in the open doors as they're about to close.
That's
kind
cool.
of the fine line that I've done. And it's very difficult to pull it off in a really cool, smooth way. More often than not, you just feel a bit of an idiot. should I come to the station earlier, really, rather than fly jumping into the train station.
Standing in the carriage is
I'm okay, guys. I'm okay.
Do you carry a season ticket of some kind, though?
I do carry normally when I'm catching a train, I've got a monthly.
Because I imagine these guys who are running aren't then stopping at the booth window and fiddling for their change.
Yeah. They're pretty much screwed
if you
go on
that
route. I have seen people do the full-on sort of run off the door almost as it's sort of taking off already and moving and getting in. So some people are really good at catching a train, like the train that's passing us right now, if you've got extra good hearing.
Yeah,
I quite like the sort of the train etiquette around when is it actually too full to get in the train, because it seems like the answer to the question is never. It seems like as long as those doors are open, I can get in that train.
Yeah.
And I don't think you always can. I think there's a cost.
Well, the onus is really on the people who are near the doors to start filing down the space, the little corridor where people sit. And I don't think that, obviously if you are trying to get onto a packed train and people haven't done that, it's quite easy to gripe. But if you're in that position, it's quite an awkward place to go stand, in between someone's legs.
Oh, yeah. Because
you're sitting down and reading.
And you are putting your butt right in their face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically what is happening is if you are one of those people that are shuffling down, you're kind of going, I'm going to put myself in a position where I don't know if I'm getting out this train.
That's true.
Further down the passageway you go, and the more the train falls up by the doors, you might never get out that train.
You have
train.
To start making a move four stops in advance.
Yeah. Sorry, excuse me.
Simon, I want to ask you, we have a similar route home.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you've noticed a couple of these things on the road in Woodstock.
Okay.
Can I just check out of this one? You've addressed it straight to Simon. I don't think this is happening.
I think you will have seen these people as well. It's the vendors who carry certain items around, okay? And they're always selling dusters, brooms.
Yeah.
Wooden spoons for some reason and catapults.
Oh yeah, now, I've seen the catapults.
Now why? The first three I get, it's all kind of domestic, it's useful, maybe you've broken a wooden spoon. I don't know.
And
then a catapult.
Okay, I would argue that the catapult is probably the one on the list that's the most essential to sell in that scenario. Because the thing is
that just a self-defense? Someone's trying to steal his wares?
In most cases, you have a duster and a wooden spoon, and you're probably not going to be driving and be like, ooh, I should get a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Because it's quite ordinarily, you're probably shopping in Pick and Pay or Checkers or ShopRite, and those things are readily available there.
Yeah.
Whereas a catapult at least is the impulse buy. It's I've never owned a catapult.
What's down this aisle?
Yeah.
Catapults.
This could be fun.
Yeah.
Describe these catapults, because I've seen some, I've seen bow and arrows being sold before.
Oh, wow.
No. Yeah, that's also a weird one. The bow and arrows, they almost put them in your car too. you do want to buy this. I don't know. It's just try it on. Just see how it feels.
These catapults are as if someone had described what the first catapult looked like to these people. So, it's the Y, and then it's just the rubber that's tied to it with the red band where you put your stone.
A Dennis the Menace catapult.
Exactly.
The classic.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Bart Simpson out the back pocket kind of catapult as well.
I mean, do those even work? When I've used catapults, I've you know, friends have had those fancy wire ones which have the wrist guard
well.
That go over your forearm. Those are like super accurate.
Yeah.
My grandfather used to use a catapult similar to what you're describing, like the one at the side of the roads, to basically shoot acorns at cats.
Really? Wow.
At wayward cats. Well, he said that it didn't hurt the cats. When I was young, I believed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I got older, I thought, I'm not too sure how this wouldn't hurt the cats.
It's not hurting the acorns.
But he had birds that the cats would often kind of stalk. He had like a little sort of water bath in his garden where he'd try, you know, bless the birds with a peaceful drink. And the cats obviously had no such motives.
I've seen people fire at birds. Those birds that sit on the roof and also sit on the roof with an extra H in it. and like live in your pool and et cetera, et cetera. So people shoot catapults with like berries at those birds to try to get them away.
I see berries probably are a good thing to shoot at birds because if they're hungry, just open their mouths, got a little treat.
More sitting.
So it seems like, I mean, these are in higher demand than I actually expected. Like maybe people are buying the catapults more than the wooden spoons and the brooms and the dusters. Yeah.
Maybe we were looking at it all the wrong way. And that it's more just things to punish your child with.
Yeah, I think
the catapult, the wooden spoon is a classic.
Yeah. What about the duster?
Feather duster right up the nort.
Oh, wait. I was going to suggest tickling, but
tickling until you pee yourself.
The other thing that I've noticed on Woodstock Main Road, is a sign that said. Now I want to know if you guys would purvey this vendor.
Yeah. Mm.
R20 haircut.
That
seems too cheap for a haircut. Cheap.
Oh, but I'm always in the market for a cheap haircut, though.
But like the cheapest haircut I've ever had, apart from free ones from your mom or whatever.
My mom.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's 50 rand is the lowest that I've gone.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like in that weird gray area where a free haircut is less strange than a 20 rand one.
Yeah.
It's like there's something dodgy going on.
I'm pretty sure a 20 rand one is probably just shaving your hair off. That's like minimal mess, minimal fuss.
Although
all your
hair
gone.
Feeling, does this place not have hand-drawn pictures of the haircuts on the wall?
It doesn't. It might be that kind of hairdresser, but I think this one
like
just
Mr.
has
T
a, literally just has
Tina
a sign
Turner.
Saying 20 rand haircuts.
Okay, well I think you should try it out.
I'm too scared. I'm too scared to high five people on the back of a bucky. I'm not going to get a 20 rand haircut.
We have a heated debate that's ongoing officially from now because I'm opening the case again.
All right.
A couple hundred podcasts ago, we discussed the song Life by Desiree.
Yes, it's a good
and
song.
And we debated on the fact that one of us thinks it's a good song, one of us thinks it's utter rubbish.
Yeah.
I being the latter.
Wasn't it voted like one of the worst songs that year?
Well, it
the worst,
be.
The worst lyrically?
It is really bad lyrically.
Yeah,
but,
it was. I think it
but
was.
But Simon maintains that it's still fun, and that's fine. We differ on that one.
Yeah.
I thought I'd bring a new one to the table. Here, I heard this on the radio the other day.
All right.
And I thought, this is utter rubbish.
Okay.
I need to bring this up.
Can we already let's see your gauge of rubbish? Is this better or worse than Life?
Well, I think it's almost on par if you're thinking about the verses.
Okay.
For listeners who aren't familiar with Life, there is the set of lines, I don't want to see a ghost. It's the sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast and watch the evening news.
Yeah.
Now this song, one of the verses goes, 6 o'clock already. I was just in the middle of a dream. I was kissing Valentino by a crystal blue Italian stream. But I can't be late because then I guess I won't get paid. These are the days when you wish your bed was already made. Now, that feels like a kind of song lyric I might have made up in primary school. And I made up some terrible songs in primary school.
Okay.
But anyway, the chorus, and this is where it probably becomes more familiar to people who know the song. It's just another manic Monday. I wish it was Sunday because that's my fun day. My I don't have to run day. It's just another manic Monday.
Yes, okay.
Good or bad?
So I would say I don't have a huge problem with the verse. I was kind of into it. There's a bit of romance.
I like
dreams. You know, I've enjoyed a couple of dreams
in my
life.
I think I didn't enunciate that this was, I was kissing Valentino.
Well, that changes everything. No, I hate the verse. I hate the verse. No, I'm happy with the verse. I do think the chorus.
Yeah.
bit forced, maybe. Maybe they've literally just
rhyming dictionary.
They've gone through the alphabet of things that might rhyme with Monday.
Doesn't every word end with day?
Day. Yeah. And this is brought to us by the behemoth of pop, the Bangles.
Oh, no, not the Bangles.
Yeah. Who brought us such hits as Eternal Flame, which is good enough to cover. And yet they can, you know, churn out this rubbish.
What do you mean good enough to cover? Eternal Flame is not a good song, though.
It's covered, so good enough to cover.
Yeah, but I think they covered it out of a sense of duty. The song's called Eternal Flame, so if no one covers it and it just fizzles out and everyone doesn't remember it, then...
Was that the song for the Olympics?
Eternal.
Very good. Anyway, so everyone go listen to Manic Monday, and while you're singing along blindly and thinking, this is great, I love pop, just listen to the lyrics. It's utter turd.
Switch flop.
Well, it's the welcome return of Switch Flop.
Yay! Switch Flop 2017.
Yeah. This is a round where we debate.
Ooh.
And Simon and Dylan are going to be competing against one another. But the argument that I pose to them, they will be... switching between themselves and also flopping their opinion on the argument.
Sounds complicated.
Very complicated.
It is complicated.
It's a good thing I'm a highly skilled individual.
Yeah, well, you can start then. So you are going to be debating that hiking is fun.
Oh, all right. Well, that's easy. Hiking is obviously fun. I have hiked many times, and not once when hiking have I ever thought, ooh, I really wish I was doing something different, like, I don't know, scuba diving or bungee jumping or eating an ice cream. Every single time I've gone hiking, as I start feeling the pain in my legs full up to the rest of my body, I think, what have I done? Why have I done this hiking? I could right now be out scuba diving and all the other things that I listed earlier. I don't know what got into me earlier when I was saying I liked hiking. It was clearly a lie, because hiking was basically made to make you feel miserable. Like the trees around you, sure, they're having fun. They're waving at you. They're like, the sun's beating down on your back going, oh, you're alive. But it sucks to be alive in that moment. It really does.
Switch.
It does really suck to be alive in that moment. Hiking, it's like walking, which is already a drag, but also on an incline. It's so dumb. Like, why would you ever do that? If you have to get from one place to another, covering a lot of distance, at least if you go straight on a road, you end up further away. This, you do the same distance and you end up kind of geographically where you are.
Flop.
Which is great, because if you do it near a mountain range that you like, you don't want to be kind of going on to another mountain range. You want to go straight up, stay there, straight back down, you're back at home. That's lovely. You can have a nice little shower, very quick one, water-wise, and think about your next hike, which will probably be the next day if you're a keen hiker like me.
Flop switch.
All right, flop switch.
Yeah.
So that means I have to change the argument and be me. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, what Dylan was saying is, you know, particularly good in his case. Maybe he finds hiking to be incredibly fun, but he would be entirely wrong. The other day I went hiking with five friends and I returned with two. Not because our friendship had broken up during the hike, but because the other three had died. Hiking is a dangerous thing, which reminds me, if any mountain guards are listening, we are desperately looking for a guy called Mike, a girl called Lindsay, and a man called Ted.
I think we're going to wrap it up there. Wow. And if you do see them, please let us know.
A sobering appeal at the end there.
Yeah. So, Simon, you get the point for that round.
Yay!
For faking dead friends, I think.
I'm learning something here about how this game works.
Okay. Dylan, you're going to start off the second point of argument, of debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that cell phones are good.
Oh, well, that's an incredibly easy point to make. Cell phones are not only good, they are great. They let your parents know where you are. Well, I'm thinking about when I'm much younger now, not right now. I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of, but it's a very valid point. Say I want to go to the movies, and the movie ends early because the reels didn't work in the right order and I had to leave. They would normally just come pick me up 2 hours later, but now with my cell phone, I can go, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm ready to come home now. What am I talking about?
Switch to Simon. Continue.
And I know I shouldn't be using my cell phone in the cinema, but that's how much I love cell phones. They're just so useful. I also like to literally sell phones. I run a shop in my spare time where I sell cell phones to people. It's lots of fun to say. Sometimes I sell cell phones on the seashore.
Switch the debate back to Dylan, and we're going to flop it.
Oh my goodness. I found that cell phones are actually quite terrible, and this is exactly why. In high school, I'm going back again, they told us that we wouldn't have a calculator in our pockets for maths.
Who's telling you that?
They always said that. You can't use a calculator here because you won't be carrying a calculator around in real life. And they were wrong. We do carry them around, and they've dumbed us all down. I no longer have to work out my tips properly in my head, and it's made me quite stupid.
Switch to Simon.
I hate cell phones because they make driving way harder. All I want to do while I'm driving is check my phone, Facebook, and do all those very helpful things. But because I have a cell phone with me, I have to now stop the car, get out the car, be far away from the car as possible, just so that I can use my cell phone without breaking the law. And that makes me hate cell phones and cars, to be honest. I'd rather not be able to contact anyone and walk everywhere.
And I'm going to wrap it up there, and I'm going to give the point to Dylan.
Yeah, because, that's a surprise.
Because, they have made us stupid with the whole tipping thing.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Right, and the last point that we're going to debate, and this will be for the victory, is that chocolate is bad for you. And okay. Simon, you're going to start this off.
All right. Well, chocolate is bad for you. Before my friends that I lost on the hike left the group, they were eating chocolate. And that might have been... I get quite emotional talking about this. But
okay, I'm going to switch to Dylan then.
Good, because chocolate is bad for you. That's just a fact. It's got sugar. It's got cocoa. It's got brown things. sometimes it's got nuts. And if you've got a nut allergy, it's really bad for you. But, with people with nut allergies, they shouldn't be having it anyway. More chocolate for the rest of us, I say. I enjoy it in all forms, liquid, solid, and gas. That's right. If you haven't been to the latest chocolate vape lounge, then you are missing out. It is something that one can cook with to make any meal better. You know, when they started introducing chocolate and chili as an idea, I say, don't stop there. Chocolate chicken, chocolate lobster, chocolate
Switch
in my Coke.
To Simon.
The other day when I was having my spaghetti bowl of chocolate, I just was reminded again how amazing chocolate is. I love it. I use it to brush my teeth. I use it to bath in. With all the water restrictions, chocolate is actually very helpful to shower in and to flush your toilet with, especially if you're doing it, let it brown. Don't flush it down.
And switch to Dylan and flop it.
The chocolate is bad for you is the topic we're debating here, actually. And it's clearly bad for one individual, Augustus Gloop. Think of this guy. He is... dead by chocolate. There's a thing. It's death by chocolate. Chocolate is bad for you.
Wow. That's the end of that. And the point goes to Dylan.
Hey!
Because I can't think of a better thing than the three states of chocolate. I want gas chocolate. I want to inhale it.
It's coming.
Dylan wins.
Days.
Well done.
Nice. Word on the Streep. Welcome to Word on the Streep. All about interesting words and their definitions. All right.
Sweet.
So I've got four words and four possible definitions for each word. And Andrew and Dylan will have to decide which definition they think is the real one.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense so far? All right. To make life interesting.
Sounds like absolute balderdash.
it is. It's literally what balderdash is. To make life interesting, one of the definitions is their own made up definition they sent through before the show. And one is something I made up. And the other one is the real meaning. Because let's be honest, if we didn't have the real meaning in there, then this round would be pretty pointless. So we've had to put that in.
So there's going to be points.
There are going to be points.
Sweet.
To make life even more interesting, they get a point anytime anyone picks the definition, and they get 3 points if they guess the right answer. If they're feeling particularly evil, they could deliberately pick their own definition to try to throw the other person off, but that's up to them.
So when you say anyone picks their own, if I pick my own, I'm guaranteed 1 point.
Yes, you are.
That's
you are guaranteed 1 point, but then you're going to cap at a maximum of 2 points, whereas if you try to go for the actual definition, you would definitely get
Okay.
3 points.
Okay.
I said definitely. You'd possibly get 3 points.
What do you mean cap? Anyway. What do you mean cap at 2 points?
Well, if you guessed your own points in that moment, then the best you can hope for is that the other person will follow suit. And so it means that round you've scored 2 points.
When you could have scored three.
I thought you were talking about in total for the
game.
This
part's all in brackets, by the way.
Yeah. This is helpful to know because it's the first time we're playing this.
Yeah.
Basically, when we play this in future podcasts, you're going to have to go back to this episode to get your explanation.
Yeah, and listen to why chocolate is good for you.
Yeah. All right, so let's start. I'm going to ask Andrew, you're going to have to answer first. The first word is Goomba.
Okay.
Goomba. If you want to know how it's spelt, then look it up. All right. Is Goomba an older friend who mentors you? Is it is it 12 Zumbas? Is it a large wooden drum? Or is it a tribal fishing canoe? All right, so you've got to choose from an older friend who mentors you, 12 Zumbas, large wooden drum, and a tribal fishing canoe.
I mean, it's interesting. I have family members who call their grandfather Boompa.
Boompa.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
And the 12 Zumbas, I mean, I don't know what a singular Zumba... what is a Zumba? Is it the instructor? Is it the class?
Well,
interesting.
I cannot reveal anything. I can only reveal what's written on the piece of paper.
I can only imagine that it would be the sound of the wooden drum that it would make. And the canoe, I mean, that's like, I mean, that's what you shout as you fall out. Goomba! I think I'm going to go for the canoe.
All right. You're going for canoe. Dylan, what are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for the the first one, the older person who mentors you.
Okay.
He's a Goomba.
A Goomba.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can reveal that Goomba is indeed an older person who mentors you.
Hey!
Stoke. All right, so Dill, you got 3 points, and you get 1 point because Andrew, unfortunately,
no!
So it's a very, white. Right now, it's a whitewash, really.
I'm stoked.
We're doing what Hollywood does. All right, so the next word is pandiculation. All right,
right.
Pandiculation could mean any of these four things. Does it mean tickling to please? Does it mean the act of stretching oneself? Does it mean scratching the inside of one's nose with one's finger? Or does it mean to juggle saucepans? And I'm going to get Dylan to answer first. So that's the four things again are tickling to please, the act of stretching oneself, scratching the inside of one's nose with one's finger, and to juggle saucepans.
Okay. I'm obviously geared towards saucepans. listeners to the podcast know that. But I think I'm going to go with stretching oneself. Only because I think it's correct.
Well, I guess that's a good reason to go for something. Yeah. Andrew?
I think that Dylan has chosen his own one in a drastic ruse. And so I'm going to say the tickling.
You should see the eyes Andrew's giving me here in the studio.
Daggers. I'm going to go tickling.
Okay. All right. Well, I can confirm that Dylan was indeed rusing you by picking the right answer and by leading you to feel like he wasn't. So Dylan gets another 3 points.
Oh, my word.
And you know what? I'm going to give myself a point because you chose the definition that I made up this time.
Sweet. Wait, so which one... Who gave up the saucepans thing? Andrew.
Yeah, it was Andrew.
Ah.
That's very good.
Now I know how he plays.
Now I can learn.
Very badly.
Yeah. Andrew, it's quite bad when, it's you versus Dylan and I have more points than you. All right. The third word that you guys have to define is snollygoster.
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 Not a real word.
Sounds right up Andrew's alley.
All right. All right. Is it... a person who can't be trusted. Like, that man's a real snollygoster. Is it a gust of wind strong enough to lift a lady's skirt?
Oh, that is such a good one.
That is good.
I'm just putting it up front. Whoever came up with that one, that's a really good one.
So, I was out the other day and this woman was walking down the street and snollygustering happened.
She got snollygusted.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, bit of a snollyguster.
Yeah, definitely.
Snollygusty.
Is it a position in the Indian sport of kabaddi?
Kabaddi?
Yeah.
What, he played snollygoster?
Yeah, probably. You know,
I can never play that game. I'd much prefer Kagoodie.
Fair enough. I'm really Kabaddi at Kabaddi. Or is it, the fourth definition, is it a tiny giant?
Right.
Just to catch you up. So it's a person who can't be trusted, a gust of wind strong enough to lift a lady's skirt, position in the Indian sport of Kabaddi, and a tiny giant. Andrew, I'm going to make you answer first for this one.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it might be the skirt one.
Okay. All right.
Oh, he's playing it. Look at those eyes. Look at that face. This is his own one, and he's trying to set me up like he thought I did before. Or it's not that, but I'm just pretending it is. I think it's the first one, the person who cannot be trusted. That's what I'll go for.
Okay. All right.
Snollygaster, a person who can't be trusted. It sounds right.
I can tell you, I can reveal that, yes, indeed, Andrew, desperate for points, yeah, had to pick his own one just so he could at least get 1 point.
You came up with the skirt one.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Thanks.
I said that up front.
You did. Yeah.
But Dylan is correct with the person who can't be trusted.
Sweet. I must have like 1,000 points by now.
I feel like I've been...
My maths isn't very good since I got a cell phone.
So here's the deal, Andrew. There's no way you're winning this.
No.
But I, funny enough, am in the running for second place. So we're going to play the fourth definition anyway, because I think we all want to know who came second. All right. So, bumbershoot. Like, how are you feeling about bumbershoot before we even go into it?
Bumbershoot sounds like a fun nickname. I can imagine calling...
I don't know. Would you want to have the nickname Bumbershoot?
I wouldn't, but it sounds like a fun nickname to give somebody else that you don't really like.
Okay. Dylan Bumbershoot Hitchens thinks it's a good nickname. All right, let's... Is it A, diarrhea?
Very literal. Okay.
Yeah. Is it D... Oh, sorry. Is it B? Sorry. Just skipping to...
Lettering according to George Lucas.
Yeah. Well, let's just mix it up. Is it D... An umbrella.
Yeah. I feel like an umbrella already has a name.
Yeah.
It's an umbrella.
Yeah, and also it would have really changed that Rihanna song.
Bumbershoot.
Bumbershoot. Bumbershoot.
In the effort of jumbling them up, is it C? Oh, no, wait. Would C be C anyway? Okay, let's do B. Is it anal discomfort?
Ooh.
I feel like
that Simon's entry.
Yeah. Oh, Bumbershoot does sound particularly uncomfortable.
Of all of us, the most likely to say anal discomfort is Simon. Yeah,
just based on last week's anal constrictions.
And the whole like duster thing.
Or is it B, fibrous underside of a mushroom cap?
Ooh. Right.
I want to jump in and say that I think... In its definition, it means the bell end of the mushroom, the underside of that, as opposed to a peak cap made out of mushrooms. Just in case that was confusing.
I was actually thinking that.
All right, so your options are.
so far we've got bell end and naught on this podcast.
So the
Look
options
for
are
next week.
In the correct order, there would be diarrhea, fibrous underside of a mushroom cap, anal discomfort, and an umbrella.
I have no idea.
Well, luckily for you...
I have one idea.
Dylan has to choose first.
You have one idea of what it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a tricky one. Out of those options, I feel like umbrella is plausible, but I just don't get why... You know, it should be like the wizard's word for an umbrella or blah, blah, blah for an umbrella, not just an umbrella, because that already, then it should just say umbrella, an umbrella. Yeah. So it kind of rules umbrella out for me. Fibrous bell end is an interesting one. I'm going to go with umbrella, the Rihanna rule. I'm going back to umbrella.
He's
going to
rule it out and he's going to go for it straight away.
Yeah.
Interesting way to play it, but fair enough.
I mean, I've already lost, so I'm going rogue. Anal discomfort.
Simon gets the point.
All right. Well, the good news is that in last place, we have Andrew doing his very best to stay last. I've come in second because, yes, I did suggest anal discomfort. As a definition to the word, I don't just in general suggest anal discomfort. That is not something I wish upon anyone. And Dill did indeed guess the correct answer.
Oh, my word.
It is umbrella.
Did you get every single one right?
I don't think I got the second one.
You got everyone right. Right.
I got the maximum amount of points.
You
that's
got
not true.
12 points and you got an extra one because Andrew guessed you. I got 2 points because Andrew guessed me twice.
Wait, so what does that mean Andrew's definition of that one was?
Andrew said it was diarrhea.
Which, you know, it's not far off from anal discomfort.
It's elegant, you know.
Diarrhea seems like it would be relieving compared to anal discomfort, which
sure,
sounds
or
like
an umbrella up there.
Yeah, definitely.
Garage of groundbreaking inventions.
Welcome back to the garage. Ooh, everybody.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's dusty in here.
Sure. Allergies.
Do you have dust allergies?
I do.
Unlucky.
As well.
So we are here ready to break ground with some sweet inventions. This week we want to improve upon brying. Ooh. Or for our international listeners, barbecuing. Because they seem to not understand what brying is.
Yeah.
How would you improve upon brying, Simon?
If there was just some way to get everyone to arrive to the braai on time,
yeah,
that would improve things greatly.
Okay.
Like, I mean, if there's some like delivery service that would, like, if you're going to run late, you can just put your meat in the delivery service, have that at least arrive on time.
Yeah.
Because it really throws you off when you're trying to, especially with a wood braai, get the perfect heat, perfect time to braai, and then someone pitches up late with chicken and you're like, screw you, buddy, you bought the hardest thing to braai and you bought it late.
This feels like you have someone in mind.
I don't have anyone in mind.
I have someone in mind. frozen chicken.
Yeah. Oh my word,
get out.
Yeah.
I never used to braai chicken, as in like bring chicken to a braai, but my wife is quite a fan of the sassati, which I feel is like, if you're going to braai chicken, it's probably the easier form of chicken to braai. But people who come with, like, you know, just a
breast.
A breast of chicken.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Why? But now with the sassati, they'll generally have all that sauce.
Yes.
That you pour over it. Don't you find
that's
it
the high
tricky?
Society.
Don't you find it tricky to get that right without the sauce burning, but still having the chicken cook through nicely? Discuss.
Look, it's true, but in the hands of a capable braaier, you're fine. And if you do not have a capable braaier, then I feel like it's your fault for bringing a freaking chicken society. So all in all, I think it's fine. The worst thing that happened to me the other day is someone bought essentially what I can only assume was flammable meat. Like meat that had, instead of like, you know, the sausage containing a bit of water.
Like a petrol burger.
Yeah, it contained like probably actual petrol. Wow. And look, the braai is very pleasant. Everyone was having a good time. Like, we had put on our meat a bit too soon. Like we were aware that it was too hot, but we were flipping it a bit like more than you normally would, and it was fine. Everything was going fine. And this person brings his like R1.50 for a coil boerewors and the whole braai, like, it ended the braai basically, because everything got burnt all at the same time.
That's awful.
So that's not good.
When you say people need to arrive at the right time for a braai, or on time, should I say?
Yeah.
What is on time for a braai though? Because you know, especially with a wood braai, as you mentioned, that arriving at the time that the function starts is not arriving in time for the braai.
I think it's
so is the it official a moral thing, support thing to have everyone there for the 2 hours that the wood burns.
You've got
to
be there by the time the chip and dip come out.
Oh, here we go again.
I feel if you're hosting a braai, you should make a time that the meat will go on and try to stick to that time. So everyone has the gauge. So you can be like, come at 12, meat's going on at 1.
Okay.
And that's like the perfect braai situation.
So we went on at about 10 that morning.
Yeah. Get there at 1.
But as for inventions, my actual invention that I'm going to bring to the party.
Alarm clocks.
is just the texting device to text your friends. No, I'm bringing the two anti-smoke options.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of tired of braaiing and just you like the smoke just follows you around in terms of, if you're the braaier, you'll get those moments where it's just constantly in your face. You'd be like, I get the hint, smoke. You want me to just move around to the other side of the braai? And then inevitably, you move around to the other side of the braai and the smoke's like, kidding, I'm here now. And
then I just want to check your invention. This is now something more effective than Pink Bunny.
What's Pink Bunny,
what
Pink Bunny?
What on earth is Pink Bunny, Pink Bunny?
Oh, that's undercooked bunny.
Did you guys...
Never bring bunny to a braai.
Well, neither of you did this, but I remember at school, you would stand around the braai and the, when the smoke...
Who's braaiing at school?
Well, the fire, campfire, whatever. And when the smoke came in your direction, to get it to go away, you would point two fingers at the fire and just say pink bunny until it went away.
Sounds like a cult.
Hectic. All right.
Were you summoning a pink bunny from the flames by any chance?
Were you at Hogwarts? what's going on here? Okay, so it's not pink bunny, right. Which...
Listeners, if you know what pink bunny is, please tweet us.
No, this is superstitious bishops nonsense. What's going on here?
It wasn't bishops. It was, I don't know, in like SU camps.
Well, they should know better than occultist practices. Okay, so I got one very practical thing that's not really an invention, exists, but I'm thinking maybe you could have a cooler version of it.
Yeah.
It's just braai goggles.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you just take swimming goggles and put them on, that would kind of help get the smoke out of your eyes.
Yeah.
But
there's certainly space for goggles in the garage.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But you just look a bit dumb if you take swimming goggles, especially if you've got the ones that are permanently attached to the snorkel. So that's why I've come up with an alternative to braai goggles.
Yeah.
And that is the head fan.
Oh.
Now, the head fan just sits like, it can even be attached to one of those ones that have the light there as well if you're braaiing at night.
Yeah.
Can attach to a band around your head.
This is a great idea.
It can be motor powered. It can be constantly pushing air away from you. So at all stages, you are never getting smoke in your face, which is perfect. And it has an alternative, really fun result of, in those rare occasions where the braai is dying and you need to sort of blow a little air into the coals to bring up the heat, you can just lean in.
Yeah, there's nothing better than putting your face right in the coals.
Yeah.
This reminds me of one of those cap fans for hot days.
Yeah.
Which would have the fan like right in front of your vision blowing on you. You just flip that around.
Perfect.
That's a great idea.
I think it's good. If there's anyone who wants to take this groundbreaking invention and make it, go for it.
For the sake of bringing up an instant problem with it, there are often more than one person standing around the braai. This just blows the smoke away from you, but into everyone else.
But if everyone stays on the same side, then I think you're going to be fine.
If you stand single file behind the braaier.
Or if everyone's wearing a head fan, then you can kind of create a smoke vortex.
Yeah. Just keep it right in the middle.
Yeah.
A tsunami.
That would be cool. I like it.
My idea is, it's the motor brake. And it's a portable braai. It's one of those half-barrel drums, and it's welded to the back of a motorcycle.
So for you, having a dog on a bike is not enough. You want the dog and the means to cook the dog on the bike.
Basically, if I'm invited to a braai, I want to be the guy who's bringing the braai. And when you say bringing braai, I want to bring it.
That's so good.
And so I want to light it when I'm at home, and I want the natural flow of air while I'm riding my motorcycle. And maybe some of the petrol fumes to really get it going.
Okay.
And by the time I get there, we're ready to go. Coals are done.
Okay.
That's fantastic. And then does it sit there attached to the bike the whole way through while you braai?
Yeah, there's no need to.
So there's a nice leathery seat for the braaier.
That's true.
Just sit the other way on the motorbike.
Very true. Yeah.
Very hot seat,
very comfy.
Yeah.
You had at some stage invented another braai type device, I think you and Jeremy. Didn't you have some sort of pool braai that you were trying to...
The floating braai.
Yeah.
It was one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Did it work?
Yeah, it was brilliant. We swam, we braaied.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was... Have
What's
we not talked about that?
That
I'm sure
if
I've
you
talked
drop
about
it,
that.
If you drop your meat in the ash, there's like plenty of water
to
wash it off.
And trust me, that happened.
Did you say that happened more often because you were in the pool?
Well, I will say that a floating braai, your tong work needs to be very good.
Okay.
You need to be stable.
Mm.
And also you need to have some way of keeping the braai from floating away from you as you're turning the meat.
I guess it also, the problem with the floating braai is that Marco Polo becomes exceptionally difficult.
Yeah. And very dangerous.
Fishy, ouch.
You brought up braai tongs, and I don't have an invention for this because braai tongs already exist, but why can't people just make braai tongs that work?
Yeah.
I'm tired of these ones that are like...
Flimsy hinge.
Yeah, flimsy hinge, too long. Like, there are a lot of braai tongs out there that really aren't doing a good job, and for some reason, people are still buying them.
Yeah.
It's
because you either get, like, cheap as chips braai tongs,
Yeah.
or flipping expensive Brighton.
Yeah. There's a tunnel, will have a very expensive Brighton.
Yeah,
that
with the light on it. You can see the meat while you turn it.
I think it's like, it's a stage of progression of getting better at being a, because eventually you want to work up to being the Tong master.
Yeah.
And so you have to start off with the incredibly unstable ones to really hone your craft.
Yeah, but I feel like there is no real progression there. It's, you go from those to the best. There's nothing in between.
Well, I mean,
unless you consider the crap ones to be the middle ones and you just use like chopsticks as your starting ground.
I would sooner like turn the meat with my actual hands than have to deal with those. There's those ones that are like seemingly like they're longer than they need to be. Mm. Like, oh, it's like as if you're having a fire in a next door neighbor's garden. And they're kind of like, the handles, like they're normally red and gray.
Yes, yes.
And that's the ones like the super weak hinge at the top.
Yeah.
Like, surely by now people have learned that that's the one you definitely don't buy, no matter if you're skint, you rather don't go there.
Those ones are just kind of suggesting to the voice where it should maybe want to turn.
Yes, yeah. I feel like it's the claw machine of Brighton. Ever unreliable.
So good.
I think we've just stumbled upon the best invention yet. A claw machine above your braai. Oh, how fun is that? You get to angle it around, go down, will it turn, won't it?
Yeah. Or will I get like, to eat?
Yeah, exactly. Like, or like a claw machine that you pay your £2 and you might get a sausage. Yeah,
it's amazing. My invention is simply the drone controlled grid.
Oh, I love it.
Ooh. Because I find that the biggest problem in all the many times that I've bribed personally, which I think I could count on one hand, not using all my fingers, is that, you know, inevitably you want to get under the grid at some stage to like shift the coals around. And the grid's an awkward thing to pick up, especially when you've got lots of meat on it all resting. Pork sausages, are they going to roll off? Have you put them strategically like in the grooves of the grid? So I just feel like if you had a drone controlled grid, so it never was resting on anything, it just sat there at a certain height, you could go, okay, just lift, it's up in the air,
okay,
mess around with the coals, come back down. You can even go really low when the coals get really weak and you want to do sambos or sandwiches for people who speak English.
You could even, I guess, you know, fly the braai around a bit just for fun.
You could move the braai around.
Yeah, like when you're dishing up, you could just sort of hot off the braai, sort of fly it.
Well, this is just the grid, but what you could have is a series of braais that have been started at different times, and you could fly the grid over them as they're getting cooler. You move on to the next one.
That's very good.
The only problem is that you're going to need a head fan because the drone's going to be blowing all the smoke downwards.
That is true. Well, I think it's been a fun trip to the garage. But I think the crane game, claw machine for Brian sounds like the most fun.
Yay, I'll take the points into the next round, which, was it a train or was that? No, it couldn't have been.
The quiz!
With a train behind it.
It's quiz train time and the welcome to the quiz.
Yay!
And to all of the passengers on that train, welcome. This week's quiz, we are continuing with the show host's theme.
Awesome.
And it's Oprah Winfrey.
Oh! Oprah Winfrey.
Exactly. We're going to start with Oprah and Winfrey. I'm happy with that. And question one, these are general knowledge facts about, general knowledge. We all know this about Oprah Winfrey. The first question was, what was her original name?
Beep.
Simon, you
beep
first.
It was Oprah.
Is the right answer.
Yeah, it was misspelled in her birth certificate. Yeah.
Wow, well done.
Well, can I just say that I also knew that because you were so amped about Simon knowing that. I feel like a child who's not presented as good an artwork to you.
When you guys get questions right on the quiz, I am very pleased. So well done to both of you. Simon gets the point. The second question is, how does she begin her days? Dylan.
Yoga.
With a prayer meditation, I think yoga falls into that kind of meditation category.
Of prayer
meditation. I thought it was going to be like getting those two like staffy dogs of hers just like out of the bed. Get out, staffy dog! You
guys
suck.
Know a lot about Oprah. Unfortunately, that is always not one of the questions. Right, her director, this is the third question. Her director in a Baltimore TV station sent her to New York for a makeover at a salon that gave her a French perm. What happened to her hair?
Beep,
Simon.
It went huge. It broke the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest sperm.
Is incorrect.
It Dylan. Fell out.
Is the right answer.
Yeah, just all her hair just fell out, man.
Yeah.
Balled wow. open. Hashtag.
Get that trending. The fourth question is, she celebrated her 51st birthday by doing what?
Beep.
Simon.
Finally marrying that Stefano guy that she's been like with for ages.
Sadly not.
By giving a car to everyone. No, everyone gets a car.
I will give you a clue.
By giving Gail a TV show? That's
incorrect. I'll give you a clue.
By cameoing on 30 Rock.
No, that's not beep. Right. Can I give
by
you a clue?
By making your own spoof film, The Color Purple Nurple.
By opening a magazine, O Magazine.
No. Can I give you a clue?
No. No. It is,
okay. Keep going.
By having a name similar to one in the Bible.
No. Beep. And by seeing... Seeing if she could go through the many weights of Oprah and just eat a lot, then automatically waste away and eat a lot and waste away, all in the space of a week.
This is
by having
unprecedented.
Wait, by having a surname that both syllables kind of mean the same thing,
beep,
win and
by,
free.
By writing a blog post on the shocking revelation that her studio's name is just her name backwards.
Wow. I am glad that I chose the questions.
Who
that
was
I
closest?
Did. None, neither of you. None of you are even remotely
what,
close.
What was the question?
What did she do on her 51st birthday? Dylan,
she had a cake.
No.
She chilled with Obama.
No, okay, I am going to give you a clue.
Okay.
Okay. The clue is it has something to do with her body and something that generally would be kind of considered that you do at a younger age. Dylan.
You've already heard. She just went on a sweet diet.
No.
She got braces.
No, that's incorrect, Simon.
That would be done at a younger
that's
age.
That's quite clever, yeah. She got an exercise regime.
No, that's incorrect.
She dyed her hair.
It's incorrect. It is kind of like a personal expression thing.
She developed breasts.
She's sort of wearing a toe mm-hmm. ring.
Getting closer,
oh,
Dylan.
She got a ears pierced. I beeped.
I think
definitely
Dylan
said it first.
I
said it.
I think you said ooh. And I think you beeped and said that. So Dylan, Dylan gets the point there.
So
after
close.
After all of that. Okay, round two is whose tweet is it anyway? And the tweeters today are Winfrey, Winston, and Winnie. So it's Oprah Winfrey, Winston Churchill, and Winnie Mandela.
I don't think Winston Churchill was tweeting anything.
Well, there's an account that's tweeting Winston Churchill quotes.
Or Winnie Mandela.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so the first tweet is, what does that mean when we celebrate Women's Day once a year?
Beep.
Simon.
I think that's a Winnie Mandela in that moment. She's thinking, we winnie some, we lose some.
Dylan?
Oprah.
Oprah. Mm. The correct answer is Winnie Mandela.
Yes.
Ooh. So Simon gets 2 points and Dylan gets no points.
I always forget that I can say the same one.
The second tweet is, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give.
Oprah.
Dylan?
100% Oprah. Beep all day long.
This is Churchill trying to get people into the wall.
Well, Simon is correct. It is Churchill.
Oh. Ah, I know study Twitter.
I know
I think
my
you
Oprah
get these
and I know
every
my
time.
Churchill.
Okay, here is the third tweet.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Congratulations, Moonlight, my favorite. Hashtag Oscars in memory.
Oprah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's most definitely Oprah.
It is. It is Oprah.
Can I get 2 points
you
for that?
You get 2 points for that, and Simon gets
as
one.
As per the format.
And the final tweet is, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Beep.
Yes.
I think that's definitely Churchill.
Okay.
I'll go Winnie.
Winnie, the correct answer was Churchy.
Good.
Yes.
It was Winston.
Nice. That
Old
lead.
Winston.
That lead is gone. Gone.
Okay. So, moving
who
on
who do you like the best? Oprah, Phil, or Gail?
Probably Oprah.
Yeah, I think Oprah's the best.
Moving
I
on
think
to round three.
I watched a little bit of Phil, and Phil puts himself in funny shows
which is
and,
finish
and movies.
The quote.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed him in the Scary Movie franchise.
Yeah, I think Phil's got some southern charm, obviously. I think
loads
Gail's,
of it.
Gail's definitely the worst, though.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell she...
Discount Oprah.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying?
So, the first quote is, think like a queen. A queen is not afraid to fail. Failure... is another stepping stone to
beep.
Simon?
Success?
Is incorrect. Dylan?
Happiness.
Is incorrect.
Beep. Love
is incorrect.
Is this Oprah?
Yes.
Opening a magazine from... called O Magazine.
No. So the end of that quote is, failure is another stepping stone to...
Beep. Remembering your spirit.
Is incorrect. You were closest with your first answer, which was success. Dylan?
Achieving success?
No, it's not the word success.
Oh, is it not in success?
Yeah. No, it's okay. Not. Yeah.
Greatness?
Is the right greatness. Answer. Simon, well done.
I'm glad I beeped.
So, the second quote is, the biggest adventure you can take is to live the life of your...
Beep.
Simon?
Dreams.
It's the right answer.
Yes. No.
And the final quote is...
My second option for that was going to be to live the life of your dogs. Maybe like she lives through her dogs.
What is this
has.
Thing with her dogs? I don't know this.
I'm sure she has dogs.
She has two Cocker Spaniels.
Oh, Cocker Spaniels, not Staffies.
Oh, there's a point.
No, it's because Stefano or whatever her man is called Staffy. Reminds me of Staffies.
The third quote is, when I look into the future, it's so bright it burns my...
Beep, Dylan.
Eyes.
Is the right answer.
I'm go for breasts again.
Round four is the distant relative round, and we're going to be looking at the movie The Color Purple.
Ooh, I love it.
Okay, so
I've never seen it.
No. That's fine.
It is very, very good.
I haven't either, and hopefully
you'll know one fact.
Hopefully you'll be able
to. Please let this one fact come up.
Hopefully you'll be able to guess these answers, even though none of us have seen the movie.
Okay.
The first question is, Steven Spielberg's baby was born during the filming of this movie, but how does his baby feature in the film?
Beep.
Simon.
You can hear her crying as
is
one of the
right
things.
Answer. That is correct. When there's a baby crying, it's Spielberg's child.
Yeah. You know what?
Bad parent.
I might have said something similar like that.
But you didn't beep.
I didn't beep.
No.
Yeah.
Or say anything.
No, that's just completely quiet.
The second question is, shooting for town scenes frequently had to be... shooting the town scenes frequently had to be put on hold due to what? Dylan.
Rain.
Is incorrect.
Bad weather.
Still incorrect.
Darn.
Beep. A train. There was always a train.
Is the right answer.
What?
Very close to home. Yeah.
I love The Color Purple.
What?
Yeah.
How did you get that?
The third question is...
You guys work in the same building, right?
Third question is, the town scenes had a key electrical pole in the middle of the street that could not be taken down. What did they do?
They photoshopped it out.
Is incorrect.
Beep. They disguised it as a tree.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
They built a tree in front of us.
This is a landslide.
Incredible. And the last question is, how many...
Just don't read out the score at the end. Just go, and Simon wins.
The last question is, how many movies had Oprah acted in before this film?
None.
Dylan. Is the right answer.
I would have said none as well.
That was my one fact. I'm so glad it came up.
I can reveal at the end of that Simon has won the quiz.
Yes. That's fine. It doesn't really matter how many points.
With 13 points.
Yeah, I mean, thank you.
Well done.
I do quite like a good old Oprah from
time to time. 7.
Oh, man.
So well done, Simon.
That felt like a 13-point victory.
I remember when Oprah learned how to sing her own theme song.
What?
I'm amazed that you didn't know the facts that I chose, because like you are bang on with all of these facts.
Oh Oprah,
when you walk. No, that's not
it.
No, what was her theme song? Was something like
Oprah?
But before that, it had a verse.
Oprah.
It definitely had a verse.
I know what the verse was. It's 6 o'clock. I've just woke up from a dream. I was kissing Stefano by an Italian stream.
I feel like I'm going to go home now and listen to the Oprah theme song.
Do it.
Thank you guys for listening. So what you can do is send in some questions for us. We're going to be having a travel special, because we're going to have to pre-record one of the episodes, because I'll be away in Thailand. And we didn't want to leave you with 2 weeks without a podcast. We'll maybe just leave you with one. But that means that we're going to have a Brother Streep Show travel special. So if you have any questions about travel that you want us to answer, because, you know, we've been places. You know, Dill's been to Sedgefield.
Oh, I'm well-versed.
I've been to Pick and Pay Rondebosch. And Andrew's been... Where have you been?
I've been here.
Yeah, he's been here the whole time. So if you have any questions, just email into info@brotherstreep.com or comment on our Facebook page or tweet us. Someone will eventually see what you said, and we'll get back to you in the podcast. But until then,
bye.
Bye.